If policies that affect the health of a city's residents were an Olympic event, a new report says Phoenix would miss the podium. Mesa and Tucson also would not bring home any hardware. City Health looks at the country's 40 biggest cities and ranks them in areas including affordable housing, the ability of residents to get healthy food, and complete streets. The group, which is an initiative of the de Beaumont Foundation and Kaiser Permanente, gives gold medals to cities including L.A., Chicago, San Jose, and Boston. 16 cities, including the three in Arizona, did not get a medal. With me to talk about the report is City Health's president, Shelley Hearn. And Shelley, it looks like Phoenix did exactly the same as it did last year in your first report. Is that right?
It did. It held steady. It has three medals in three very important categories. But in the meantime, 10 other cities in the top 40 eclipsed Phoenix. Folks are changing, and Phoenix is staying put where it is. Phoenix is really becoming a destination growing city. People are moving to that city, and before it becomes too big, before it becomes too out of control, this is a really great roadmap and thinking on what might you want to put in place before we get too big. And there are a number of policies that are right on the edge, like the food grading system. It's voluntary right now. If that were made mandatory, Phoenix would right away move into a bronze category.
Well, let's talk about the areas that Phoenix is doing well in. And you gave it a gold medal for complete streets, a bronze medal for earned sick leave, and a gold medal for smoke-free indoor air. I know asking you to pick which of the metrics is most important is like asking a parent to pick their favorite child, but are these metrics particularly important, unimportant?
Oh, they're very important. You know, each one that we selected is based on what's the best evidence out there in terms of things that a city can do to create the most ideal climate for people to have a healthy life. And so something like smoke-free indoor air, the data is off the charts. If you in public places are breathing clean, tobacco-free air, all kinds of disease rates go down. Children are not exposed. Even smokers smoke less. It's just a win-win across the board. So what Phoenix has done is great. It's just there's some other opportunities out there where the evidence and other cities have shown can really make a difference in terms of giving everybody a fair shot at health.
Given the other categories for which Phoenix did not earn a medal, are there one or two that you think the city can and maybe should really focus on in the next year to make an appreciable difference?
Well, you know, part, Mark, the reason I'm going to hold back and saying do this one or do that one, what we've carefully done is crafted, here are the nine basic pillars of policies that a city should have. But every city is different out there. You know, Phoenix is different than New York. It's different than Mesa. It could be, if there are concerns about public safety, one of the policies that we have that folks haven't paid attention to is looking at the density of alcohol outlets. It's a way that by reducing that density and that concentration, it's had a significant impact on public safety that a number of cities have tackled. Now, I don't know that that's Phoenix's issue, but it is an option if this is something that is on people's radar screen. Here are policies that work.
Looking at some of these metrics that you incorporate here, some of them seem like things that cities very obviously are in charge of, but some of them seem like the city may or may not have a lot of control over. For example, a high-quality universal pre-kindergarten. I'm wondering how much control over some of these policy areas cities really have and how much that might control, you know, how well they do in this report.
Absolutely. Again, to the point, every city is different, and universal quality pre-K is on there because the data is off the charts on this one also. Now, some cities have school boards. In some other places, they're appointed positions through their city council. Sometimes it's regulated by states. But what we've seen that whether or not a city has the authority or if it's being blocked by the state, there's been a number of cities that have really been pushing with very innovative approaches to funding and assuring the best of quality education for those really vital early years.
It's interesting you mention that because we've been hearing so much over the last couple of years how cities have really taken the lead on particular policy issues. Climate change is one that comes to mind. I'm wondering if, given the research you do and how closely you look at cities across the country, are they really sort of becoming policy leaders maybe more than they have been in the past?
What we've seen traditionally is that a lot of the early ideas and early opportunities are first seized and experimented on in cities. And then often you have the state take that on, and when you get a number of states, it affects and influences national policy. So cities have always been an incubation chamber for new innovation ideas. What's interesting with our 9 policies here, these are kind of tried and true. They've been out there for a while. These aren't the most cutting edge, but what they are the most tried and true and evidence-based of what's been percolating in cities, states, and even discussed at the federal level.
All right. Shelly Hearn is president of City Health. Shelly, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Great talking to you, Mark. Take care.